Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Lima, Ohio, and graduated in 1964 from the U.S. Naval Academy while playing football and captaining the 1963 team. He served 31 years in the U.S. Navy, including the command of the Eisenhower Battle Group during Operation Desert Storm, and was also the superintendent of the U.S. Naval Academy. Since 2012, he's been the chairman of the board at Mortgage Bank New Day USA. His name, Rear Admiral Thomas Lynch. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Rear Admiral Thomas Lynch. Admiral, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you very much, Jack. It's my pleasure.
Can we start by talking about your childhood in Lima, Ohio, and your mom and your dad, please?
Certainly. I'd be happy to. I was blessed to have two wonderful parents and one of five siblings. I had an older brother that was 6 years older than I, and then was me, and then brother Jim, who was 3 years younger, and then brother Ray, and then my sister Cheryl. And so my mother, at that time, was pretty unique, I think, and it seemed to be anyhow, that she gave birth for a 19-year span from 1936 to 1955 when my sister was born. So we had five kids in the family, four boys and a girl, and hardworking, you know, typical Midwestern good ethics, good work ethic, and just, you know, God-fearing, good people. We're Roman Catholic and went to parochial schools. And, you know, our parents instilled in us and all of us a couple of things. One, you had to go to college. Neither of my parents had college education, so it was very important to them that they get the five kids through college. And, of course, when I came up, you know, I had to go to college, and I had three goals. One, go to college. Two, and I didn't know what that was, really. Two, be an engineer, because I looked around, I thought they made the most money. I really didn't know what that was. And marry a pretty girl. I knew what that was. And I had a high school and then classmate of mine, Kathy Quinn, who we dated 4 years in high school and then 4 years while I was at the academy, and we married in 1964. So that was a good, wonderful thing in my life. And we were married for 46 years before I lost her in 2010 to chronic aortic dissection and stroke after that. And so it was kind of a difficult last 4 or 5 years. But anyhow, she gave me, and we had together three children and 10 grandchildren. And the grandchildren are now going through high school, or going through college, I mean. But I wanted to get back to my parents. They also instilled in us that you work as hard as you can, you pray as hard as you can, and you leave the rest up to God. And that has been a philosophy of my life. And I look back at, you know, I'm now pushing 77. I'll be 77 years of age in April. And when I look back on my life, you know, I say, I have no regrets whatsoever. I mean, could I have been a better son to my parents? Could I have been a better parent for my kids? Could I have gone, made more money? Could I have gone higher in the Navy? Could I have done this? Could I have done that? You know, I say, look, I know that I worked as hard as I can, and when I came to major decisions, I prayed on it, and then you leave it up to God, and then you look back, and you have no regrets in life, and you just look forward, and that's the way I've been all my life. So it's been a good philosophy of life for me. And in fact, I'm now at New Day USA, the mortgage lending company that you mentioned, and we have 500 young people. The average age is 26, all college grads. But and I tell them the same thing. It's a great philosophy of life. Don't look back, look forward, and just work and pray and make the decisions, because whatever decision you make will be the best decision for you, based on your level of intelligence, your experience, your emotions, maturity, whatever it is. That was the best decision for you at that time. And so move on and get on with life. And so I thank my parents for that because, like I say, early on, work hard, pray hard, leave the rest up to God.
You went to the U.S. Naval Academy. You played football. 1963, the team was 9-1. You were a co-captain with a man named Roger Staubach.
So it was our senior season, and we had a fantastic group of guys. They're still my closest friends today. As captain of the team, I felt an obligation to keep everybody together. And back in the early days before the internet, I would once a month draft up a letter and get somebody to type it up for me and the old Xerox and send it out to everybody. But now with the group emails, it makes it much easier. But I can tell you today where every guy is and wife, kids, and the whole thing. And so it's been a labor of love, but we've been able to, every 5 years, get together here at the Naval Academy. Last November, we had our 55th team reunion, and we get together. It's like, you know, it's like back in 1963. It's loves and kisses and hugs and kids and family and all that. And we've lost 14 members of our team, but we tried to include the widows as much as we can, and they come back. And so it's been a real labor of love, but we had that bond. It's like a bond of brothers that has never left us. And I consider them as brothers, so we kind of keep touch through the Naval Academy, and it doesn't hurt that Roger Staubach, being the fantastic person that he is, not only a great athlete but just a great, great human being, and a very humble guy. And you have somebody like that of that prestige that kept us all together. You've got a guy like Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick was a 10-year-old running around our locker room because his dad was the scout coach and a tenured professor in the physical education department. And Billy Belichick and Roger Staubach and all the coaches that we had, and it was just a wonderful period in our life, a very formative stage of our life. But we grew and became men, and we had that share that time together. And of course, everybody that's been to the Naval Academy, everybody has their plebe year. So, you go through that plebe year, which is something that everybody dreads. But after you've been through it, you thank the good Lord you had the opportunity to do that and to share those experiences with your classmates and your teammates and your friends. And then it turns out these guys are friends for life. And it's really been an amazing, amazing career for us. And so we had just back in November, we were all together and just had a wonderful, wonderful time together. In fact, you mentioned Rick Prezzano, but both Rick and Bill Belichick both provided video tributes to the team during our meal, where they dedicated a room in the stadium in our honor.
We're talking to Admiral Tom Lynch. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the late, great Coach Rick Prezzano. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Rear Admiral Thomas Lynch, graduated from the U.S. Naval Academy in 1964 while playing football and captaining the 63 team. A defensive coach on that team was the late, great Coach Rick Forzano. Tell us about Rick Forzano, Tom.
Well, I will say this. We wouldn't be having this conversation today if it wasn't for Rick Forzano. Rick Forzano was the most influential person in my life, and that goes back when I was a junior in high school. The Life magazine came to our home, and we were, basically, look back on it, we were simple people, just hardworking, wonderful people, but had a good work ethic and just trying to get by with life and do the best we can and striving for the future, as all of us were in those days. And Life magazine came to the home, and on the cover was Montgomery, General Montgomery from the British general during World War II, an article about him. And inside was an article about Pete Dawkins, All-American football player, Rhodes Scholar, captain of the Corps of Cadets, and a little vignette about West Point itself. And I went to my mother and said, you know, I now know what I want to do, Mom. I want to go to West Point and be another Pete Dawkins. So I'm striving to be another Pete Dawkins. And she said, Tommy, you know, we have to know, you have to know somebody. You have to have political connections, and we don't have know anybody like that. So that's not in the realm of possibility. And being a Catholic kid in parochial schools, the nuns and priests had me programmed for Notre Dame anyhow. So it's okay. It's back to Notre Dame. Well, my senior year, I received quite a bit of football notoriety up in the northwest corner of Ohio. Big kid, good student, and a good athlete, as it turned out. And so I had Notre Dame, Northwestern, Purdue, and I was trying to decide where to go to college when we put on a science fair. And Jack Jennings, class of 47 Naval Academy, engineer at Westinghouse of Lima, Ohio, afterwards said, Tom, have you ever considered going to the Naval Academy? And I said, oh, Mr. Jennings, you don't understand. You have to know somebody. And he said, look, you write to Congressman William McCullough, 4th District of Ohio, and tell him of your interest and have your College Board score sent to the Naval Academy, which I did. And about a month later, I received a letter and then a personal visit from Coach Rick Forzano, the assistant coach at the Naval Academy. And Rick, I look back on it in those days, Rick was probably about 30, 31 years old. Of course, I was 17. He was interested in me. He talked about the Naval Academy. I really didn't know the difference between the Army and the Navy. I didn't know what the difference between West Point and Annapolis, but I knew I had an innate sense that I wanted to serve my country, which I believe anybody who attends the Service Academy must have. But so I think that and then the opportunity to play football, my father always impressed on us, use football as a means to an end, not the end in itself. And in fact, my brother Jim then 3 years later wound up at Notre Dame and captained the team there when they were national champions in 66. And then went played 12 years in the pros, but that's a whole other story. But Rick Forzano was somebody that I really idolized. I mean, he was a snappy dresser. He was just a very dapper guy. He was very funny and energetic and enthusiastic and positive and just one heck of a football coach, as it turned out, which I didn't know at the time. But I wound up then at the Naval Academy and spent 4 years at the Naval Academy and got to know Rick Forzano, who was the assistant coach. He left after my senior year. He left then and went to University of Connecticut as the head coach and spent a couple of years in the pros. And then when the Naval Academy in 1969 fired their coach, Elias, they brought Rick back. And it turned out I had spent then almost 5 years on sea duty. And this was the post-Vietnam, the malaise that had sent in the country, the anti-war, hippie, draft card burners, all the things that was going on in the country. And the country had swung very far to the left. So recruiting at the Naval Academy was very difficult. And so I was asked with three of my classmates to come back and go out to the hinterland, out to America, and talk to all the schools, the juniors and seniors, and say, your country needs you. And you don't have to be a super intellectual. You don't have to know your congressman. You don't have to be a great athlete. We just want the best and brightest this country can provide and turn that around in 1 year. But in the meantime, Rick comes in as head football coach. So I had another 2 or 3 years there with Rick and I was officer representative of the team, representing the Naval Academy and making sure the players were all militarily proper in their uniform and their haircuts and all of that, and that was never an issue. But you always had this military liaison with the civilian coach at the Naval Academy, and they still do that today. But I was the officer rep for the team, and so again, I got to see Rick at a different level. And then he and I have been just close personal friends all through the lives, all through our lives, and I always look forward to. After every big Navy game, calling Rick to say, you know, get his perspective and what he thought and what he how he evaluated the game, and then of course we always followed Bill Belichick and when Roger was playing with Dallas, we talk about Roger and the Dallas Cowboys, and then Bill Belichick through his career with the Cleveland Browns, and then of course, with the Patriots. And so, and of course, and Rick just passed a couple of months ago, and it's just it's been a real void in my life now. But Rick was almost 91 years old, and was 91 years old, just a fantastic man and a great mentor for me, a great beacon, sort of my rock in life. And he and Betty had raised three wonderful children, and they've got their own family, and just great family up there in Michigan now. And coincidentally, I was there for Rick's funeral and the wake the night before. It was the night before the Patriots-Chiefs game, Friday night before the Patriots-Chiefs game on Sunday. This is the biggest game of the season. But Bill Belichick came to that wake and was there for 3 hours. And probably by the time he got home, it was probably after midnight or early in the morning. And then that Saturday morning, he had to fly with his team down to Kansas City. And of course, they beat the Chiefs and then wound up in the Super Bowl. But just trying to show you the character of not only the character of Bill Belichick, but it also shows the love that we all had for Rick. We had about a half a dozen, six or eight of my teammates all came back, and it was a blizzard up there in Detroit. But we made it through the funeral and had to spend time with Betty and the three children and Christy, Stacy, and Rick Jr. But so anyhow, yeah, Rick is was very important in my life. He and I intersected so many on personal levels in so many different ways. And he was a God-fearing man. He was always had the right answer. He always sprinkled a little humor with his wisdom, and but was always just so sincere, so genuine, and never got the credit, in my opinion. And I've been around a lot of football coaches, and football has been a part of my life in many, many aspects of my life, but Rick Forzano never got the credit that he deserved. He came at the Naval Academy when it was flat on its back, and we couldn't recruit. We had trouble just recruiting midshipmen, per se, to join the military back in those anti-Vietnam years in the late 60s. And so he had very little talent, but he turned and saved the Naval Academy program, which he'll never get the credit for, because George Welsh had something to work with when George Welsh came in as a coach, and George Welsh was a very successful coach here. In fact, he died about the same time Rick did, just recently. So, and we're going to honor, here at the Naval Academy, we're going to honor both Rick and George Welsh on the 31st of August here at the Naval Academy, the opening game this fall, the 31 August 2019 here in Annapolis, and we have the families back, and probably all the guys that played for either one of those coaches, and it's going to be a great tribute to Rick. That the tribute that he probably never got that he certainly deserves. And but anyhow, then he went on in the pros, and was wound up as head coach of the Detroit Lions, and they were kind of down. But no one can say that. I don't think there's anybody that knew the principles of the game. He attracted great coaches, and it was just the breaks of the game that he never really got, in my opinion, never really got the credit that he rightfully deserved as really a real student of the game.
I'd like to ask our producer, Mark Blackwell, to read Rick's philosophy of life letter that he sent me in 2003.
My philosophy of life was ingrained in me at a very young age by two loving parents who emigrated here from the old country. They had little education, but a lot more common sense and smarts than most people. They gave me the basis of my life's philosophy by stressing the following. Everything you have on this earth is on loan from God. Next to God, family should be your number one priority. Feel lucky who you are, what you are, and where you are. You are no better than anyone else, and they're no better than you. Be proud to be an American. It's the greatest country in the world. I've tried, and I stress that I've tried, every day to live by these teachings and to be a living example of Christ. There are some days that I've been somewhat successful. However, there are days that I've failed miserably, a human frailty of mine. Quite frankly, I'll never be considered a great football coach, but have always attempted to practice what my mentor Paul Brown, one of the greatest coaches ever, taught me. And that is, you must give your best effort at all times in spite of any obstacles, problems, or trials. Because every day, you must be able to look in the mirror of life and honestly say, I gave my best effort today. God has always been a part of my life to some degree. However, I've discovered that I take more walks with God as I get older. I firmly believe that God answers prayer, forgives my sins, and that He watches over me and my family each and every day. I'm a very lucky man. I've been blessed and continue to be richly blessed by God.
That was Rick Forzano's Philosophy of Life letter. And we're talking to Rear Admiral Thomas Lynch. And I'm Jack Grasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Grasula. We're with Rear Admiral Thomas Lynch, served 31 years in the U.S. Navy, including command of the Eisenhower Battle Group during Operation Desert Storm. Admiral, I was blessed one time to fly out to the Big Stick, the USS Theodore Roosevelt. With its 5,700 men and women, average age 19 and a half, 1,092 feet long, 97,000 tons, going 34 and a half miles an hour, 24 stories high. The landing area on that thing is about 750 compared to 10,000 feet in an airport. Talk to us about these Navy kids and the job they do on these ships.
Well, it's something that you have seen it. I wish every American could see it. And we are so blessed to have young men and women step up as they do day in and day out. And we have a philosophy, or our military strategy is to be forward deployed. And our carriers are always on the pointy end of the spear. I mean, every president wants to know where all the, where the 14 carriers are. Back in my day, we had 14 or 15 major carriers, and we've always had them deployed around the globe. 70% of the earth is covered by water, as we all know. And our job in the Navy is to maintain freedom of the seas and to be on the pointy end of the spear if some, a conflict should arise and we have an adversary who wants to take us on. And so we prepare day in and day out. We train the way we're going to fight. The only thing we do is differently is we do not pull the trigger during the peacetime. But we're ready day in, day out, any types of weather. And you're talking about high-performance aircraft, high-performance electronic, electrical systems, steel ships, and, you know, and a young workforce, basically. And you're talking about your sailors and your Marines, who are basically young people. And things happen sometimes. And obviously, we're prepared for whatever may come, and but it's just an inspiration to be among them and an honor to have the opportunity to command and to serve and to be with them as a servant leader to all these young people. And I've had that, and that's my primary reason for staying in the military. One was the threat of the Soviet Union and the Cold War. If we didn't do it, who would? And yes, it was required sacrifice and our family sacrifice at times, but you had so much intangible rewards in the military because you're working with a group of people. You know, it doesn't make any difference what your race, creed, social background, how wealthy you are. You know, we're all getting the same pay. We're all working together, but we have this common mission to share with one another. And the actions of any one of us could affect the mission. It could affect our lives. So we had to have a lot of trust and confidence and respect in one another. And that's something that meant an awful lot to me. And so I feel so blessed to have the opportunity to have spent 31 and a half years on active duty. And I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world, and sit back now and say how blessed I was. And now I'm with New Day USA, which is a mortgage lending company. We do VA loans only. We're veteran-centric. So now I have to, an opportunity to continue supporting our veteran community and the young men and women on active duty today. So I feel very blessed in my life. And I look back on, you know, we talk about the Rick Forzano and the inspiration that he was for me throughout his life and his philosophy of life. And I've always had, early on from my parents, faith, family, and friends. And then I got graduated from the Naval Academy. I had my first ship, a Navy frigate, about 280 men on there, and we were all male at the time. And I remember taking over command, and you had this total, anything that happens, it just enveloped me that I relieve you, sir, but now I am totally accountable and responsible for anything that happens aboard this ship, anyone that happens to any one of these 280 men, their families, anything that could happen in at sea. And at the same time, we have to be prepared for a conflict that could arise at any moment. So after a while, I said, why am I the only guy on board thinking that way? Why is it the seaman recruit thinking that way? Why is it the chief thinking that way? Why is it the lieutenant thinking that way? And so that developed in for me a philosophy of shipmate self, where I say any sailor at sea, you need to have a thought. For every thought, word, and deed, you must think, what effect is this going to have on my ship? What effect is this going to have on my shipmate? And then what's in it for me? And I can tell you most honestly that in 36 months that I had command of that ship, there was not one thought, word, or deed that I didn't think first shipmate and then worry about myself. And I won't say I had 100%, but I will say I had a very high percentage of everybody aboard that ship by the time I left that we were thinking that way. And as a result, we became the most improved ship in the Atlantic Fleet, the highest retaining ship in the Atlantic Fleet. We made every commitment. And those are even at times when people, we had race problems, alcohol problems, drug problems, shortage of petty officers, low pay. A lot of my crew at that time could have applied for food stamps. They wouldn't do that. But, these are all things that you face in life. But we're in it together, and we became a very successful unit and did very great and wonderful things. I'm trying to instill that same ship philosophy at New Day USA. We got 500 young people. We want to think, what effect is it going to have on New Day? What effect is this thought, word, or deed going to have on all of my colleagues here? And then I'll worry about whether I'm going to close this loan or whether I'm going to get a commission or whether we're going to have to work on Saturday. I mean, I worry about myself last. And it's a great philosophy of life. In the military, we felt that, we had a noble purpose. I mean, we're all in this together, and I don't care what your background is, but we've got a job to do and a mission here, and wind, weather, adversary, whatever it is, we've got to be prepared. So I think if you're going to be anybody who's going to be a great leader in life, whether it's be a great parent, a great coach, a great CEO of an organization, I don't care what it is. And we all want to be leaders at some point in time. We're all going to be put in positions of responsibility that you got to put yourself last. And that leads to humility. That leads to shipmate self philosophy. In my opinion, every great leader I've known has been, as I mentioned earlier, a servant leader. I mean, you take care of your men. That's why the old Marine philosophy, no Marine is ever going to have to take a bite to eat unless all of his men are taken care of. And now at New Day, USA, which is a mortgage lending company, has been veteran-centric, and we help veterans who, they're not looking for a hand up. They're looking a hand out. They're looking for a hand up, and for the vicissitudes of life, they've been through some things where their FICO scores, they've had to live on a revolving credit. They'll miss a credit card payment, and now they need a little help, and so we're there for them. And if we can possibly get them that loan and get that equity out of their home for themselves and get themselves on a road to financial stability, it's very satisfying for me. And the letters I receive and the phone calls and everything else, the emails, it's very gratifying for me at this point in time in my life.
We're talking to Rear Admiral Thomas Lynch. If you want to learn more, www.newdayusa.com. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760. WJR. I'm Jack Crisula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Rear Admiral Thomas Lynch. From 1991 to 1994, he was the superintendent of the U.S. Naval Academy, and as such, led 4,500 of our greatest young people. Admiral, the Army-Navy game. Mike Tirico, Herb Street, Brent Musburger, Danielson, all of them say if they could go to one college football game in their life, they would go to the Army-Navy game. What makes that so special?
Well, it really is probably the should be on everyone's bucket list. This probably is it's a memorable event. And the reason it is so special is that it is the game where everybody can take sides. Everybody sees young men out there that are giving 110%. They're laying it all out there in the field. It's all for their team. And then afterwards, I mean, it's smash mouth football. It's very as tough as you can possibly get. And there are no rewards afterwards. There's no financial rewards. There's no pro contracts. They all know when that final gun sounds, you put your arm around, you hug the guy across the line from you because he's going to be your comrade in arms, whether he's in the Army or Marine Corps or Air Force or whatever he's going to be. He's going to be a comrade in arms going forward. And now we are together, brothers, going forward to serve our country and to make the ultimate sacrifice if necessary. So that's probably what makes it pretty much unique. Back in our day, we only had four bowl games. And the Cotton, Rose, Sugar, and Orange, but you had the Army Navy game. We had 110,000 people in the stadium up in Philadelphia. It was on national TV. And when I first wound up at the Naval Academy, and I had come from the Midwest, a parochial school, a Catholic kid from Northwest Ohio. Notre Dame. I've been to Notre Dame Stadium with Bunakani and Stickles and some of the great Notre Dame teams. And I'm thinking, what's this Big East football? What's this Army-Navy game? But I had an opportunity to play at Notre Dame as a sophomore, and we beat them out there in 1961. But then the Army-Navy game came, and you have soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines all around the world sending telegrams in, nuclear submariners saying, this is our last a transmission for the next 90 days, but we hope that, and we're praying for you guys to win for the Army-Navy game, and generals and admirals at our practice, as you mentioned, 4,500 midshipmen at the Naval Academy, they're all in unison, and we're all together on this, and this is it's like an event like no other, and then it's college athletics in its purest form, because, like I say, most of these young men, they're not recruited by any other schools. They're not going to Notre Dame for a national championship. They're not going to Ohio State to get into the pros or Alabama or anything like this. They're here to serve their country, and they have an opportunity to play athletics on the Division I level. And then they compete once another. It's pure college athletic at its finest. It's American youth at its finest. And then all of our traditions, the pomp and ceremony that goes with it, the march on and the flyover and all the things, the hijinks before the game and all the things that happen, it just makes it a very, very unique experience. And back in 63, right, the President Kennedy was said, we were 9-8-1 at that time, going in the Army-Navy game. And we were number two in the nation. Texas was number one, and looked like we were going down to the Sugar Bowl when President Kennedy was assassinated. And President Kennedy had a deep effect on us because he had visited us in a training camp at Quonset Point, Rhode Island, that previous summer 62, I should say, and then and he had visited the Naval Academy. Red Fay was the Undersecretary of the Navy that came to all of our games, and we knew him personally, and he was in the PT boats with President Kennedy. So we had this sort of, and President Kennedy was sent us a telegram before the game saying, as Commander-in-Chief, I cannot take sides, but I'm pleased to know I'll be on the winning side at the end of the game. Now, we weren't smart enough to, we wouldn't accept anyhow the fact that he probably said the same thing just in reverse to Army, but that was beside the point. But he was our guy. And then I remember, as we all do, who were an age of reason at that time, where we were and the very moment that we were at the word that President Kennedy was assassinated. He was our leader. He was our president. He was Camelot. I mean, he was all the things that hope and aspiration for the future. And now his life has been snuffed out. And so immediately the game was canceled, and we all understood that. We went up to chapel to say a prayer and as a team. And then we went for 2 days that there will be no game. And then the word happened on the 22nd of November, everyone knows. And then the game was going to be played on the 30th. And so it's been canceled. And then the word we got is that Jackie Kennedy said, no, the president would have wanted this game to be played. So it was delayed to the 7th of December. And Mike Conley is a good friend now, but Mike has written a book, The President's Team, which talks about this our whole season and the whole thing. But he, in that book, he said, and the reason he wrote the book is that that game brought America together. That was kind of the closing of the chapter. That was bringing us together and having a closure on the death of President Kennedy, because everyone attended this game or watched this game, and it was the thing that brought everyone together. And so I've been to just about every Army Navy game since then, except when my military duty would not permit it. And it's just a wonderful event, and something that we as Americans can be very proud of, and it should be on everyone's bucket list.
We're talking to Admiral Thomas Lynch. So it's 2012. He's been the chairman of the board of Mortgage Bank New Day USA today, and as such, he spent a lot of times with our homeless vets. Admiral, last minute on the show, what have these homeless veterans taught you?
Well, I think you'll find out that these are selfless people. These are men and women who stepped up, made the sacrifices, made possible all the freedoms and values that we cherish in this country, and for whatever reason, whether it's a drug addiction, an alcohol addiction, a travail in the life, depression, I mean, whatever it may be, they wind up, and so... where they're not functioning as they would like to function. And so I believe that we as a country, we need to take care of these people. And through New Day USA, we have a foundation, and we work right here in Baltimore Station at the VA homeless shelter. And these guys, we provide meals, yoga training, financial literacy, reading to them. And we just do a lot of things up there that and our young people, it gives them an opportunity to volunteer and to be a part of that. But it's what life is all about. And you talk about the noble purpose. You talk about putting yourself last. And the ship made self philosophy. You think about faith, family, and friends. You take care of one another. In fact, Tony Dungy just come out with his new book, Soul, S-O-U-L, Selflessness, Ownership, Unity, and Our Larger Purpose, which is basically ship made self. So, think about the other guy. Think about the other person. We're all here for a very short period of time. And we need to realize that we're all in this together, and it's going to be a short period of time. Let's make the most of it and help one another as best we can.
Admiral Tom Lynch, thanks for 60-plus fabulous years of service to our country. Keep it up.
Thank you very much, Jack. I hope to do so.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.